This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian, and today I am I'm turning the tables on someone. So a few weeks ago, I was honored to be asked to be interviewed on a podcast called The Kitchen Counter by Roger Anderson. And so I said, well, you've interviewed me on your podcast. How about if I interview you on my podcast? So Roger was gracious enough to agree to do that. So he's joining us all the way from Oregon today, right? Roger, is that right?
That's right. Good morning.
Happy to be here. Thank you. So we want to talk a little bit about your website and the podcast, how this sort of came about, and give people a reason to go check these resources out. So first of all, tell everybody a little bit about like where you got the idea to start this website called The Kitchen Counter and the podcast.
Sure. Yeah. So I kind of got this idea, I guess it was back in the fall of 2014, if I remember correctly. And I was really into podcasts. I still am. I listen to a lot of podcasts and kind of enchanted with the whole idea of new media. And I thought, I really want to get into the podcast space. And, I kind of thought about, well, what would be a natural fit for me to do a podcast on? And it just came right to cooking because I love to cook. I've been cooking all my life and I'm not a professional chef, but I've been home cooking for a couple of decades now. And I thought, I looked around and I didn't see a lot of podcasts out there that really talked just basically about home cooking and helping people, you know, get into the kitchen, have some fun, build some confidence, grow their skills in kind of a non-pretentious, non-celebrity or non-splashy way, if you will. So I thought that's what I'm going to do. So I launched the podcast and the website kind of came after. It's really focused around the podcast, but I do maintain the website with show notes and that sort of a thing. So it's really just all about home cooking. I have a great audience. We interact a lot. It's just a lot of fun to help people, you know, get into their home kitchens and make good food for their families.
You know, you're right, Roger, because, you know, there are so many TV cooking shows, but I listen to National Public Radio and I know there are some cooking shows and I really enjoy listening to it, but I really like podcasts because, I like to listen to them. And I know this sounds, I don't know if this sounds weird, but, I have a great shelf that's in my, bathroom and my shower. So if I'm taking a shower and then as I'm getting ready to work, a podcast is often just the right amount of time. So I can listen to it while I'm in the shower and while I'm getting, putting my makeup on and things like that. I really enjoy doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's just on-demand audio. And, you know, nowadays there's a podcast for virtually any interest. So it's just a great medium to get into.
Now, you were saying that you're not like a trained chef or anything like that. What do you do in your non-kitchen counter life?
I work at a state university as an administrator in a college of business. So that's kind of what I do is a program manager by day. But as sort of a passion project, I've taken on this podcast and kind of working with folks. Yeah.
Now, when you were saying that you've always had an interest in home cooking, did you grow up with parents who did a lot of cooking or where was that influence coming from?
Well, yeah, two things maybe. So my mom was a great home cook. And when I say a great home cook, you know, I'm not talking about elaborate fancy meals. I'm just talking about good, you know, nurturing meals that had some family history behind them. So, I always looked forward to the smells coming from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I come from a family of six kids, so it was kind of a bonding time for us. And then my dad did things like smoked salmon on the weekends occasionally or barbecued or pickled, you know, so there was always food stuff happening. And it's really something that's kept our family, both my parents have passed on, and it's something that's kept my family kind of connected over the years is our love of food and cooking.
Oh,
and
nice.
And I should also say my mom owned several food businesses when I grew up. So I grew up, you know, washing dishes in a diner, essentially.
Okay. So, you know, you've talked about some of the, you know, you've mentioned tastes and smells and that whole kind of experience of growing up in a home that valued family meals and cooking and preparing food. Is there one meal, like your favorite meal that you recall growing up?
That's a great question. Yeah, there is. And it was a very simple meal, but it's something that I make today for my son and my family. And it just brings back memories. But it's something as simple as like a pork roast with like rice and some onions just roasted in the oven together. I mean, it just memories come flooding back.
Really?
And that's the thing to think about. You know, food doesn't have to be complicated. I mean, this is something you can put together in a couple of minutes and let it cook for an hour and a half and it's done.
Yeah.
So.
And did you have a favorite dessert growing up too?
Yeah. My mom made cinnamon rolls.
Oh,
these
yes.
Gooey, kind of sugary. Most people would probably call them sticky buns.
Sticky buns.
But
right.
These were cinnamon rolls with like the cream and brown sugar sauce all over them. Ah. So that's something I make around the holiday time. It's just, again, it just takes me back, you know.
Sure.
Has that power.
That smell of cinnamon. And my mom was, I would say my mom was really, she was a good cook, but I think she was a really excellent baker. And she would do these amazing cookies and cinnamon rolls. And especially over the holidays, I just remember it was just, a plethora of pastries everywhere you looked. It was so fun. Yeah. But yeah, I would say, cinnamon rolls. And as a kid, it would have been with a glass of really nice cold milk. And as an adult with a cup of coffee or something, you really can't beat that. Just a wonderful homemade cinnamon roll. Wow. Now you're making me really hungry, Roger.
I know. Me too.
So we want to make sure we mention Roger Anderson's website, and this is where all of his podcasts are housed. It's kitchencounterpodcast.com, and you can see some of the podcasts that he's had. We'll be talking about some more of them. Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian, and I'm having a great time talking with Roger Anderson of KitchenCounterPodcast.com. He's got some great information on his website with podcasts about cooking and kind of taking the fear out of being a home cook. And we've been sort of reminiscing about childhood memories about food and our families and our mom's cooking and dad's cooking. And Roger was telling me during the break a little bit about where the name for Kitchen Counter came from. Roger, can you share that with folks again?
Yeah. And it actually, even the color scheme, that orange color. So in our house where I grew up, we had a kitchen counter, the counter, and actually kind of one of those counters that come out and form more of a table. And it was this orange, I don't even know what the material was, not tile, but laminate or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the focal point of our family. You know, we talked around the kitchen table. We eat our meals around the kitchen table most of the time. And it was such an appropriate kind of metaphor for just bringing people together around food.
Sure.
So that's why I went with it. Yeah.
So when you, what was it? Do you remember what your very first podcast was when you started Kitchen Counter?
I remember it, but I have to admit, I never go back and listen to myself after I edit and post them. But I'm pretty sure it was, I think I called it To Cook or Not to Cook. And it was just kind of a conversation. It's like, why would you want to do this? Because I know there are a lot of people out there that maybe feel like they don't want to be a home cook or cook at home.
Sure.
And they can just do takeout or eat at restaurants or prepared meals or whatever. So I just did a conversation on the different pros and cons about, you know, getting in your kitchen and using it. I know people that have never cooked a dish in their kitchen.
I know.
Since they've lived in their house.
You know, we were recently house shopping, and there were a couple homes we went into where we were curious just by like how the kitchen looked and how the oven looked, if the people had ever even used their oven. I mean, it, I mean, there's clean and then there's like clean and never used. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. There's like factory clean.
Right. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. There would be no mistaking my kitchen.
I know. Same.
You know, it would be well used.
Yeah. Same. It's well loved. That's, yeah. So, if there's somebody out there who is maybe didn't grow up in a household where there was a lot of cooking going on, how would you encourage them to get into the kitchen and start preparing meals? Are there some first steps that you might encourage them to take?
Well, I did an episode a while back. I can't think of the number off the top of my head, but it was about setting your food and cooking goals. Because I think a lot of what it comes down to, if you want to start cooking at home and it's not something you've really done before, it's just kind of managing your own expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's really easy, you know, in the food media world, there's blogs and TV shows and podcasts and glossy magazines and health fad diets,
sure,
and all this stuff that can kind of be intimidating to someone and they don't know where to start and they don't know. Like, I can't make food that looks that good. Well, of course you can, because somebody made that 8 times and picked the best photograph.
Right, exactly.
You know, and photoshopped it, and your food will never look like that. So part one, I think, is just expecting that you're going to fail and you're not going to make perfect food all the time, and you're going to be learning a lot. That's step one. And then step two, I think, is just start with what you love. What do you love to eat?
Oh.
And start trying to make that at home. Do you love pizza? That's great. Pizza is a really great thing to figure out at home. Learn how to make the dough. I mean, the toppings are endless. You can make your own sauce, for example. And then once you start feeling comfortable with that, you just start branching out from there. That would be my approach, is just start with good expectations, start with what you love to eat. And I've also mentioned, if you have some sort of a food history in your background, if there's, you know, those heirloom recipes that your grandmother passed down or whatever, you know, get those out and give those a shot. There's a lot of fun ways you can get started.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about heirloom and family recipes. I think that one of my biggest regrets, Roger, is, you know, my mom had this little, and I bet you know what I'm talking about, this little 3x5 index card box where she had all these handwritten recipes. And before she passed, I would beg her. I said, please do something with these recipes. Like, can we scan them? Can you copy them? Because I don't want these to disappear. You know, there was everything on them. There was baking recipes and cooking recipes. And I don't know what happened to those recipes. And it just makes me so sad, because there were all these food memories from my childhood of these great dishes she used to make. And, I don't know where they are now. So I would encourage people listening, if you have a mother, grandmother, father that makes something and they have something written down on a, or even if they don't have it written down, maybe encourage them to write it down and preserve some of those family recipes, for yourself and for your children. Because, you know, once those folks are gone, you can't recapture those recipes many times. So make sure you do that. Right, Roger?
Yeah, and I would just add on to that two things. With the internet today, one of the positive food byproducts of food internet is you can sometimes investigate and find other people's recipes that can kind of approximate your old family recipes.
Yes, good point.
And also, I would say that when you're documenting your recipes, you know, try to document, just for fun, kind of the historical context around them, because, you know, sometimes these recipes might be passed on generations.
Sure.
And I have some old recipes that have some notes, you know, written down, like, oh, you know, we would buy the flour from the general store down the road here or whatever. And it's just kind of an interesting, you know, context.
Yeah, I have a recipe book that is really practically falling apart that my mom must have had. It must be from like the 50s, early 50s. And it talks about, I mean, and in the recipes, Roger, it actually has MSG, monosodium glutamate, as an ingredient. And you would never see that now. And it's really big on canned foods, because that was more of a relatively new thing, a time saver. And it's very big on Jell-O and gelatin, and aspic, very big on that. So those some cool retro food things. I want to again mention Roger Anderson's podcast and his website, which is kitchencounterpodcast.com. And we're going to be talking in this last segment about some of his favorite podcasts. And I know, Roger, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but one of them has to be your interview with me, which is called Food Sanity with Leah McGrath, RD, episode 91. So a little plug for myself. Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian, talking with Roger Anderson of KitchenCounterPodcast.com. You can go to the website and listen to some of the great podcasts, the great information he has on there. And Roger, what are you, you're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as well. Can you give everybody, kind of direct everybody how to find you there?
Yeah, on Twitter, it's just my handle is TKC Podcast. And then on Facebook, it's Kitchen Counter Podcast. And on Instagram, it's also Kitchen Counter Podcast.
Perfect. So I was just scrolling through some of your podcasts, and I came across one that I want to talk to you about. It's episode 83, Cooking Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. So I could probably do a whole episode on this too, but let's talk about some of the common mistakes that people make and how they can avoid them.
Yeah, so I think I put 9 in this particular episode. And I would say if you just took 2 out of that whole list, the most important ones, it'll save you a lot of heartache, especially, again, if you're an inexperienced cook. One, if you're cooking from a recipe, which you probably are, it's absolutely imperative that you read the recipe through at least once before you even start cooking.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times, and honestly, I still do this occasionally because I get excited and I just get started, how many times I get halfway through a recipe and I say, oh, I was supposed to separate the flour
right,
and not dump it all in at
exactly.
the beginning. Or, you know, I was supposed to let it sit for 45 minutes and I just blew through and start, you know. So it's really important, and kind of visualize how you think that dish comes together as you're reading the recipe, maybe even twice. And then when you get down to actually making it, you're going to be a lot more prepared and comfortable. There won't be any curveballs waiting for you. And then the other one I would say is huge, and my wife gives me grief about this because I'm a little kitchen bowl collector.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, every time I make something, I get all my bowls and I do what's called mise en place,
right,
which is basically just a fancy French term for everything in its place. And this is tied to the first point. You read through the recipe and then you get all of your ingredients together and prepared. So when you're making your recipe, you don't have to scramble around and, you know, measure out your butter or, you know, find your sugar or, you know, you've got it all within hand, at hand. So you can just dump it in the pot or the skillet or whatever it is you're doing. Again, you know, if you're sauteing a nice piece of salmon, you don't want to like be scrambling through the fridge looking for the butter because you forgot to get it out ahead of time. Meanwhile, your fish is overcooking. So it's a good idea to do that. Yeah, you make a little mess with all the bowls, but you're going to save a lot of heartache.
I think, you know, those are the 2 out of this your notes here on this podcast that I definitely would have picked out as well. And, you know, my husband the other day was cooking and, you know, he was cooking from a recipe and he got halfway through and he was like, oh, I didn't realize I had to do that first. And I said, honey, come on. You know, I hate to be an I told you so, but I always tell you just to read through everything first so that you've got it. So you know kind of what order. And you know what? Sometimes recipes make mistakes. So if
Absolutely. You
read through it first, you can catch that. And I love the fact that you mentioned the mise en place as well, because that's a good way of assembling your ingredients, and not only your ingredients, what bowls and tools you're going to need so that you have
that's
them
right.
out there and you're not going, oh no, I my saute pan's in the dishwasher or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And ingredients. You don't want to find halfway through that you're missing eggs. You know, or whatever.
And I used to, when my stepson is 19 now, but when he was young, I taught him that way too. I just read through it first, assemble everything in front of you so you see it first. And that's hard because some, like, he wanted to just charge in and start making things and, just, you know, and it's hard for me sometimes too, but, you know, taking that extra few minutes to do that, as you said, really can help you, in your cooking skills. Is there another podcast that you, is one of your favorites, Roger?
Well, yeah, there's several. I mean, if I do say so myself, yours was actually really good because, and I do want to mention it for a second because my approach to food and cooking is I really don't have an agenda. I don't want people to feel like if they're going to listen to my show, it's, I'm going to push some diet on them or you have to become a vegetarian or you can't eat bacon or avoid GMOs or whatever. And I've been following you for a while and it was really excited to have you on the show because I really do want to give people information to make good choices. So I would recommend if you're, again, kind of new home cook, you're making food choices for yourself for the first time. I have a lot of younger listeners that your episode 91, I believe it was, is a good one because we kind of cut through a lot of the quick when it comes to food claims and worrying about, you know, what you're buying in the grocery store.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. But other than that, I do a lot of variety of shows. I don't really have a set format, but my favorites tend to be the ones that are like, you know, seven, you know, ways to make risotto or, you know, or whatever it is, just kind of the topical ones like we just talked about are a lot to do and to listen to, I think.
But you've got some really, I mean, there's like such a variety in here. Five favorite cookbooks, cooking with wine. You've got vegan cooking. You've got making compound butters. So I think that you offer a lot of variety here, not even just, you know, for the maybe the more beginner or more inexperienced chef, but also for people who really want to maybe elevate their cooking skills and take them to the next level. Or maybe, you know, they're kind of stuck in a little bit of a rut and then need a little bit of need some ideas to incorporate some new techniques or new products, new herbs, new spices into their meals. So it's a, you've got a really fun variety here for people to check out. And again, folks, make sure you go to kitchencounterpodcast.com to listen to all these episodes. Everything pans and thickeners. Ooh, a quick fix butterscotch sauce. Okay, Roger, question. What's the difference between butterscotch and caramel sauce? You have 30 seconds.
Butter has butter in it.
Ah, butterscotch has butter in it. Caramel's just sugar and cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, well, that you did that even faster than I thought you would.
Well, yeah. Boy, I didn't know I was going to be popular.
So we'll save this for another episode to talk more with Roger Anderson of Kitchen Counter Podcast about some of his favorite foods as an adult. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ingles Information Aisle.